Memorial Day edition of Warrior Connection. This is Doug Rocky, and I hope all are remembering what this actually holiday is about. It's not really a holiday in my sense, but to remember what has happened and all of the sacrifices have been given by so many for so many years. This is Memorial Day coming up now, even though actual Memorial Day or Decoration Day, as we originally called, was originally set for May 30th. Our government, in their wisdom, has changed it to make a three-day weekend and everything else. There have been a lot of car races, parades, and everything else. Tomorrow there will be a lot of events throughout the nation here in my own community. So, again, trying to understand what it is. I'd like to open show today. I've got two poems that I'd like to read, maybe three, and maybe we'll have enough time for a third one at the end. First one is Forgotten Warriors. One moment, an individual is walking through a meadow of flowers. In the next moment, sons and daughters, husbands and wives became soldiers. They defended our nation and paid with their life or their health. The citizen soldier, the Minuteman, when our nation is built on their willingness to respond to our nation's call. Some fought in the jungles of Vietnam, yet many responded to fight in a distant desert war. They fought with skill and determination in free to land. Then our nation's warriors returned home to parades and parties and joy spread from shore to shore. But when the glow subsided, the warriors remained alone and forgotten. We asked them to fight, and then we forgot to provide them medical care. We research and study and search for a cause to lay in response through ignorance and fear. Yet the forgotten warrior suffers in silence with honor and hope. And the second one, for all the warrior, forgotten warrior wanted, is medical care. The second one is it's very specific, and it leads into the first guest tonight that's going to do an update. I wrote this ode to the nurse for Colonel Marlene Schmidt, another one of the great nurses. And the first nurse was an actual hospital medical commander in the Army. And then Linda Vandeventer, who was a nurse in Vietnam, and another one of her partners who was a good friend of mine, also Colonel Susan Cartwright. These are all incredible nurses. And also, this one is for the other nurse that's going to come on in a moment with the update. Ode to the nurse. Mother, wife, daughter, and sister. Dove who sails above the clouds, soaring on golden wings with a heart of gold. Busted bodies causing interrupted dreams. Pain and suffering she strives to alleviate. Using knowledge, skills, and too many prayers. The nurse. The dedicated professional. Selected and wanted during war while the injured arrive, yet ignored and abandoned after war's end. Only the few continue their efforts to care for veterans after war's end, because memories of and recognition of continued problems must be ignored. The nurse, the preserver of life, may she always sail on golden wings with God-given strength to care for those in need. The nurse, a professional who cares for eternity, in spite of adversity and pain, their own suffering, showing courage that comes from the God-giving heart of gold. Here's to the nurse. May she prosper and thrive. May she always be there to save the next life. Well, ladies and gentlemen, before we get to our primary guest tonight, Bob Oxnard, who is the head of Gold Star Dads, I'd like to introduce the nurse who has always continued to strive, Major Denise Nichols. Are you there, Denise?
Oh, I'm here. Thank you, Doug, so much. I want to start today with the memory, and we've got to remember him. He's a POW in Afghanistan. His parents talked at the Rolling Thunder event today in Washington. They wrote with the veterans and the people that ride the Rolling Thunder. And Sergeant Bowie Bergdahl, who was assigned to the 4th Brigade, Team 25th Infantry Division, and I guess over in the war he was 1st Battalion, 501st Infantry Regiment. He has been captured since June 30th, 2009. This is a current soldier, people, and the Taliban have him. They released 5 videos showing him in captivity. And he's tried to escape once. We're working to try to get the State Department to work and get his release now. He's stuck in Afghanistan. He is alive. His parents are pleading with all of us not to forget him. So I wanted to bring his name up first. He is a live POW in Afghanistan, and we need to all keep them in prayers and write letters to the State Department and ask for everything that can be done to get this man home. He served our country well. We need to get him released. Now, in memory of one of the ones, it always floors me to look up all the obits, and it hurts. It hurts big time when they're young. And I'm going to recognize one of those tonight, Edward Henry Matus, Jr. He was called home May 16th, age of 43 years old. And he served, died in San Antonio. He also served after the war being a paramedic and a veteran of the Gulf War that lived in the greater San Antonio area. He is just one of many that I've tracked the last couple of weeks here of having died young. And we have to remember what's going on, that our veterans of the Gulf War are dying much too young. We thought we had seen tragedies with Agent Orange and the atomic vets. This is a tragedy that I can't say enough about it. We have to, on Memorial Day, remember those who have died since they came home, not just the ones that died in battle. We must remember them. We must remember those that are sick, that are feeling that they've been forgotten by the country. And you and I know a lot of them, Doug. And we talk to them online, on Facebook, emails, phone calls. And Memorial Day is to remember, decorate the graves of those that have gone before us. But we've got some very, very ill Gulf War vets with ALS, MS, brain tumors, people seeking kidney transplants, the like. And so we cannot go through Memorial Day without remembering all those that have died since coming home from any war. Agent Orange is still taking victims, and the Gulf War taking too many, too fast. It's been 21 years now, and we've got to get our country to pay attention and quit playing the delay and denial game on these people that are suffering. Their families are trying to hold together, and it's costing them so much. And I want people to take the time this evening, tomorrow, every day, and remember these veterans that are suffering. And it's not just the visible ones with amputated legs and arms. It is the ones with the unseen injuries. And I'm not just talking about the suicides, which is at a rampant rate in our country, but those that are suffering from diseases still being attempted to be understood and find treatment for them. And we could do so much better by that group of veterans that we've, and our country has neglected, abandoned, made them fight for their claims while they're trying to fight for their health and hold their families together. And I want to recognize all the Gold Star mothers, all the Gold Star fathers, their families. I want to remember the Blue Star mothers. Those are ones that are ill that are called the Blue Star mothers. They haven't died, but they're there for us too, the Blue Star wives, all of them. So I'm delighted that we've got our next guest. And as far as updates, Rolling Thunder has made their way through town. They've had their rally. Some of them are headed around trying to get out ahead of the storm that would be impacting the southeast part of our country with the hurricane coming. And we wish them to and pray for them to have their rides home safely. I only know of two accidents, I think, on their ride. I think there's a couple here in town in Denver that got injured and were in the hospital from the ride from New Mexico to Colorado. So we have to remember them. And people, if you're on the road and you're seeing motorcyclists, please give them the right of way. Please do not be texting when you're trying to drive your car. We don't need any more injuries on Memorial Day weekend, especially those that rode all the way from the coast to go to D.C. Please honor them, remember them, and keep your eye out for them.
Thank you, Denise. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Memorial Day. And the pain of war is something that we all lived with. Denise and I have both, you know, came into the Vietnam era. We went through Desert Storm and continued to work on our effort. Ladies and gentlemen, it was a great honor that I present to you Bob Oxnard, the head of Gold Star Dads, to describe the program and what it means to our nation. Bob, are you there, sir?
Yes, I am. Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Sir, can you go ahead and please tell us all about Gold Star Dads? And
oh, sure.
The floor is yours, sir.
Go ahead.
The floor is yours, sir, for the evening.
Well, here's what I'm going to do if I can. I'm going to start reading some of the stuff from the newly, the House of Representatives recognized us by resolution on May 2nd. And since I helped Representative Joanne Osmond put this together and it sort of explains everything, I guess, that you want. It says, first of all, recognizing the Gold Star Dads of America, which are the fathers of the brave men and women who made the ultimate sacrifice in the service of our nation. And we are a organization that was created to bring together fathers in a single community to honor and remember their children and to support one another in their loss. And we also manage Operation Noble Warrior, which is an ongoing support mechanism to assist the United States military veterans and their families. And the project serves to benefit veterans who have suffered debilitating catastrophic injuries, including severe post-traumatic stress disorder, while serving in the U.S. Armed Forces. And we also conduct survivor outreach service projects that directly aid our Gold Star family. The purpose of this outreach is to help the military deliver on its commitment to the families of the fallen. And we also have veteran assistance projects provide public awareness and create a positive outlet for the military and civilian communities to unite in a single effort. But most of all, it is imperative that we as a nation never forget the ultimate sacrifice made by members of our armed forces and the devastating impact the deaths have had on the family and the friends, and especially the dads and the moms. So that's what we're doing, and that's what the Gold Star Dads have finally begun. And as you probably know, the Gold Star Moms have been an organization, Gold Star Mothers, have been an organization since about 1923, recognized by the government. But we, the fathers, I guess, we finally got it together and said, hey, you know, we do grieve as well, and we have to do something about it. And a man by the name of Michael Klasnos decided to organize the Gold Star Dads, and we were incorporated in 2009, and Illinois is the first to recognize us as an organization. So I'm very, very proud of that. I'm very proud of that.
Wow. How are you? Did you lose a son or a daughter, sir?
I lost my son, Sergeant First Class James Scott Oxner, in Afghanistan on November 15th of 2005.
Okay, well.
Yes.
Yeah, the pain never goes away, does it?
You know, it is ironic. It really is ironic that my brother, I have one sibling, which is an older brother, and he lost a son when he was 9 years old. The son drowned in Lake Michigan. And I can remember standing at the casket with my brother just before the funeral service was to begin, and I looked at him and I said, Al, I just don't know what to say. It is just that, you know, as close as brothers can be, when you lose a son or a child, there's nothing you can say to do anything. And quite ironically, since I'm also a Roman Catholic deacon, on the Sunday before we found out about before my son got killed, I was baptizing one of my brother's grandchildren. And during that time, I had been cleaning out a house of my aunt who had passed away, and I came across a couple of funeral pictures of my nephew, and I didn't know whether my brother would want or not. And I, after the baptism, I drew him aside. I said, "Al, I have these pictures. I don't know if you want to see them or not or whatever." And he told me, he says, of course, Bob, I want to see them. They're my son. I always have my son with me. And that's how we always talk about it. It's in the present tense. It's never in the past tense. Because our son will always be with us. And little did I know that 2 days later, I would be in the same circumstance as my brother, never even thinking about it, and I knew exactly what he meant right after that.
Yeah. You know, so ghosts are dads. Obviously, you want to get all of the fathers together. Now, primarily, as Denise has mentioned, then we all know too well, we've had the casualties or those that are directly killed in action. And for those that are listening or unfamiliar with military terminology, killed in action refers to those individuals that actually were shot, blown up, or whatever, and died in direct combat engagements with an enemy force during war. So that's how we define the killed in action. As Denise has mentioned, as we have shared with you, Bob, now while we were preparing for the program, you know that there's many thousands more that come back and they die afterwards after returning from what we call disease and non-battle injuries. Even of those that did die afterwards, if they survived for a week, they were killed in action, they still ended up doing that, so they're still classified that. But we have this other entire hidden casualty number that we have, incredibly huge numbers, because when we're looking from Operation Desert Storm, it's over 100,000 now that have died after they returned from the disease and non-battle injuries from that war. And we're looking at probably 200,000 now from OIF, OEF, incredible numbers. What consolation, I mean, I'm asking you both as a Catholic deacon and as head of Gold Star Dads, how can we look at this, or what recommendations can we give, or how can a family look at it, or how should we as a nation look at this?
Well, let me let's say something else as well. Gold Star Dads and Gold Star Mothers not only recognize those that are killed in action, but any active duty military, as long as when they're on active duty, becomes a Gold Star person. Gold Star Father, Gold Star Mother, Gold Star Family. They are recognized by DOD as a Gold Star Family as well. The Gold Star Mothers and the Gold Star Fathers also have an associate membership for people, as like you were saying, because we know there is grief involved, and we want to retain the killed in action and that, but we also want to help out the people that, as you said, are off active duty, but has suffered a loss, has suffered whatever pain, whatever sorrow, whatever things they have, whatever disease they may have that was caused by them because they were in active duty someplace. They're just as well, their moms and dads, they grieve as well, and we're recognizing that. And we want to welcome them as well.
Yeah, very, very important. So when we look at Memorial Day, and from that point of having lost a child in war, and so many of us lost all of our friends and buddies, both Denise and I have lost so many, and then just wait so many over the years. How or what do you think, or how do you feel, is the best way to deal with the loss and to think about the loss and continue to live with the loss? I mean, I'm asking you as both a father who has lost a child and as a Catholic deacon for some insight, because I think that's what Memorial Day is about.
Well, you know, first of all, as a Christian, you realize that the trite saying is they're in a better place. And as you know, as a Christian, as a Catholic, we celebrate death, because we believe that they are in with our Savior and our God in a better place. That's the first thing you have to realize. What we feel is that pain of missing them. My son and I were very, very close. I have two sons, both in the military. My other son was an older son. he's a command sergeant major right now in Vilsack, Germany, with the, I forget the Striker Brigade, but it's with the Striker Brigade. We aren't together, too. The son that passed away, we were more personality-wise very, very alike. We both went into Special Forces. I asked him, I said, you know, you're crazy for doing that. He says, Dad, this is what I want to do. I said, okay, go ahead and do it. And we used to talk many hours. He died on his fourth tour to Afghanistan. So we had plenty of time to talk in between tours about my tour in Vietnam, what I was doing, and what he was doing, and everything else, and how to handle the people. And it's amazing, just amazing, the similarities between the two of us. So we still talk. I'll be honest with you, we still talk. I know it's hard. I know it's something that people, and I have to tell you, for the first year after his death, I was so angry with God. I was so angry. I couldn't even pray at my son's gravesite. It was how angry I was. But without my faith, without my knowledge, without my hope that he is where he is, without the spiritual direction that I got, I don't know how people make it without faith. I really don't. And that's all I can really tell you. He and I still talk about a lot of things, and I know that he leads me to what I should be doing. I would never, never in my wildest dreams take on this project of being the captain of Illinois Gold Star Dads and organizing them in this state if it wasn't for my son. I would have never met General Petraeus, never met Peter Pace, never met President Bush, never met these people. My son made sure that I did. So you have to look at the things, the positive things that happen to you, for you, with you, through these things, and not just stick around and be steeped in the grief. You go out and you do things. I'm a Patriot Guard rider. You're talking about motorcycles. I just got through riding with 33 other bicyclists with the Wounded Hero Foundation out to Walter Reed last week. That's where we were last week. We're going to have another motorcycle run, tribute to the troops, that comes down here with the classic rock star, rock singer, Rocky Lynn. And we're going to visit four Gold Star families, and then we're going to bring them with us, and we're going to meet in the Wheaton Elks Lodge, and we're going to have a picnic there for them. So you mingle with and you talk to the people, and you are with like people, and it becomes more comfortable. You get to talk with each other and help each other. That's how we're dealing with this.
What was it? I mean, obviously, you know, as we all three of us are approximately the same age, we all started our career in Vietnam.
Yes.
What did you do in Vietnam? You were Special Forces?
Yes, I was Special Forces. I was an executive officer of my first 8th Detachment to 10 Americans and 400 Vietnamese. And then I was chosen then after about 3 months to be the CO, Commanding Officer of another 8th Detachment. Was a Mike force of in the Delta for 250 Cambodians and 12 Americans. And that was a very neat duty, very, very cool duty. And then my last, they thought they'd give me a little break. In my last 2 months, I was with on Rock Pile, and my call sign was Rock Pile 06. That's what everybody knows me because that's my email address. But I was on this rock pile with 100 mountain yards and 3 Americans. And we were the it's at the westernmost defense position for Nha Trang City.
Well, so you got out of the Army then after Vietnam, or did you?
No, I came back here, and they made me the plans and training officer for Fort Sheridan. And I had 6 weeks to train the National Guard and reservists for riot control for the 1968 Democratic Convention. I don't know how good a job I did.
Wow.
after 7 years, I said, that's enough. I couldn't. Actually, what it was, they were going to send me, and at that time, the Army took you in and out of Special Forces as an officer, and they wanted to put me back in, and they wanted to go to some different places that I says, no, I don't think I want here to go there. So I just got out.
Yeah, back at those times, I mean, you know, that was part of it. There were so many, I mean, that we lost and friends we lost. I can remember this going back to 1972. I had got back in June of 71 and flew my last combat mission on B-52s right in the beginning of June of 1971. And then Christmas 72 rolled around, and my wife was teaching school, and we were there for a shindig with the thing, and the local state police came officer to do, you know, the safety thing for everybody in school and everything. They were going around in all the schools. And he looked at me and said, Doug Rocky, are you the flying squirrel? I go, how would you know that? And he said, well, my brother was Bob Lynn, you flew with, and he was just shot down.
Oh, my God.
And it was, you know, a horrific thing to have a brother come up and then make the connection.
Yeah.
And say, my brother Robert Lynn was just shot down in B-52s over North Vietnam.
Wow.
You know, and he was coming back asking me again because, again, I was a direct connection to his brother.
Sure.
And, you know, again, you're consoling each other. You're still, you're remembering the great things and remembering the horrors and everything else.
Yes.
But that was just one of those things that happened. And then so many times with all the stuff and the losses we've had and all of us, you have to come back. And I think, like you said, I mean, it's very, very, very important. Again, Memorial Day, it's that concept of understanding God is control. He makes the decisions.
Yes.
It's not decisions that we would make always, but they're decisions he's made for whatever reason he has. And then how we go along and deal with that is extraordinarily, extraordinarily important. Denise, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Denise, you lost both a brother and a brother-in-law.
No, that was after. I had a brother that served stateside, Marine, and Camp Pendleton in Lejeune. That was a couple of years ago now, and he died of a very aggressive cancer.
Agent Orange related?
Well, it's more related to probably Camp Lejeune, but we don't know, type thing. And then had a brother-in-law that had served in the Rangers, but he had arterial venous malformation and went through 7 surgeries and died. So we have military in our family, and sometimes we don't know the answers of if it's connected or not. But, you know, had uncles and on both sides of the family, my husband and my side, that served World War II and that have died. So Memorial Day is not just remembering those that have died on the field of battle, but once they've served and come home. And some of them have very productive lives afterwards and don't show any of the invisible illnesses. A lot of them didn't talk about their traumas. I think World War II, once they got their memorial up, that more of them have spoken out than we ever heard before. So it's a time of memories, and it's a hard time, I think, for the families. I know I was watching the Facebook pages on the Gold Star Mothers, and it's a raw time for them. It's you know, it's another anniversary for them. They have the anniversary of the birth of their child, the death of their child, and then Memorial Day. So we just have to remember them all. The veterans that have served and paid with their lives on the field of battle, those that have come back never to be the same, whether by PTSD or by illnesses. We need to strive to remember all of them. And as I was listening, you know, I'm realizing that our veterans that have died, I know the Agent Orange families have tried to reach out and connect with each other and support each other through the years, and they didn't have the internet like we have now. But I think the Gulf War veterans honestly need to think about their spouses the widows now of organizing a group so that they can be recognized and you know, have those honors. I think about them when we have those that are killed in action and their families go up to D.C. and meet all the people that were mentioned today, you know, ceremonies and all. And I grieve for them that are the invisible wounded that die and do not have that system to be welcomed back into the family of the military family and the family members, direct family members, the extended family members, and not have that connection. They feel abandoned. And I think I'll be bringing it out to some of our widows and their families to think about getting organized and doing that, because we've met so many along our path in 21 years now, Doug, and losing people. And, you know, we want them to go on with their life, but we always want to be there for them. And they need to organize and be a support to each other and to the new ones, because there will be new ones.
Yeah. Fortunately, with war, there are always new ones.
Yeah, and to have them recognized on the invisible injuries, be it a PTSD that commits suicide, be it, you know, a Gulf War vet with MS or ALS or a cancer or, you know, a sudden cardiac death and the strokes that we're seeing, there needs to be a way for them to have the support that's needed long term.
Yeah, Bob, could you please, you've got this, besides, you know, the connection with the Gold Star dads and Gold Star mothers, you've got the support program that you have put in place, you're working with. Could you describe that and what it can do and how people can get in touch with all of this?
Oh, sure. Well, first of all, the Gold Star Dads, you can, our webpage is goldstardads.org. And, excuse me, I can only tell you that we have our meetings that we both get, the Gold Star Mothers, the Gold Star Dads, and you know, it's amazing how many grandmothers and grandfathers are now raising the grandchildren of their son or their daughter that passed away. It just always amazes me. Mom is working now. The widow is working. She's doing the best she can because she's got to keep this house together. So Grandma and Grandpa jump right in and help raise the children. It's amazing. At our meetings, the best thing that, like I say, we can do is we can laugh and we can cry and we don't apologize to anybody at any time for in those kinds of things. We go on meet, like yesterday, we were a group of us, a big group of us that know each other. We're at the parade, the Chicago celebration, the Memorial Day, and we look at the new people that are there, and we bring them under our wing and tell them about us and tell them that we're going to meet. And my big job now is to go down to the southern part of the state and get those people in a group and start doing that, because I understand that is really, I see how it helps out all the people here. Just getting together, having a time to talk together, making sure that everybody's doing all right. And the friendships that are coming together, it's an amazing thing. Just amazing. And we get the groups like the Tribute to the Troops and the Wounded Heroes Foundation that are helping the Gold Star moms and dads, as well as the wounded. And that's a big thing, too, for us, to help the wounded in any way, shape, or form that we can, to get them together. It's a big part of our job that we have found out that is very, very helpful to us in our grief.
And what is, you know, you mentioned this other support program that you've put in place that Gold Star Dads has. What is that called again?
The Operation Noble Warrior.
Mm-hmm. Could you please describe that for us,
sure,
please?
it's to benefit the veterans who are suffering debilitating and catastrophic injuries, in which we try to go in and make sure that the wounded hero is getting the best type of job, best type of treatment that he can. And where we have, as an example, we have partnered with the Rehabilitation Institute in Chicago, that if the warrior is going, if the VA has signed off on him and said this is it, we can't do anything, we will make sure that he gets, and if he wants to, it's all a volunteer and his voice, to go to the Rehabilitation Institute, have them look at him, have them do a profile and make sure that the best thing has been done. If more needs to be done or if they think they can do more, then that's what we'll make sure, is that he will get that more, that much more work. That's an example of what we can do. We can do a follow-up. We had one of my son's men was injured, and he just happened to come here to Hines Hospital. And I met him about 30 minutes after he was told that he was no longer going to walk again. Well, we made sure that he's walking again. He is walking now. He's from Escanaba, Michigan. And we made sure that he got up there safely. We made sure that he got all of the rehabilitation that he wanted. And there was no expense that he had to lay out for anything extra, and he is now walking with a cane. So we do those types of things, and we make sure that when we get in contact with people and say, can more be done, we make sure that if more can be done, we'll make sure that it's done.
Well, that's really good. I mean, one of the things that we've learned is, you know, just in our conversations, Denise and I have been so involved, is the effects of war not only happen immediately. I mean, both Denise and I, and Denise, since you were a medevac nurse, I mean, the number of kids you've had die in your arms or watching your die in your OR, ER, whatever you want to call it, has been staggering over the years. But when you have that problem and they come back then afterwards, and then you start seeing all these problems continue to escalate, one of the things that's frightened me so much about my own team and everything else is we were extraordinarily healthy when we went there.
Mm-hmm.
We went through, we had problems, yes, we had got people that got killed immediately, but then we started seeing the medical problems just escalate and escalate and get worse and worse and worse, and slow deterioration of the individual until at one point, you know, well, where do we go from here? What can we do? I guess the whole thing, because we're looking and struggling on Memorial Day, and as you know, stuff that we've shared with you, Bob,
mm-hmm.
you're looking at the purposes and roles of war and what really happened and was the cause and the loss of your son or your daughter, and dealing with, you know, what was behind the war, how did it all play out, and then what happened to your son or daughter, not very specifically from yourself, but how... Or what can we give to the families to think about or to help alleviate that pain or that sense of injustice or, as you mentioned, the abandonment, the crisis of abandonment?
You know, sometimes it's a very, very difficult situation. It's a difficult idea that we have. It takes time. Sometimes we can contact the family, and they just don't want to have anything to do with us or with anything. They want to stay away. But I have to tell you, it was yesterday. It was yesterday at the, it was Friday. Friday we were at another memorial. Sorry, Memorial Day becomes a very, very... busy time for Gold Star moms and dads, I'll tell you. But it was at a memorial. There was a lady there that I met, my wife met, over a year ago. And we met her at an event, but she wanted nothing to do with that, and she stayed away. And finally, she came to this event and she heard about my wife and myself, and she wanted to talk. And believe me, she talked for hours to us. And we just let her go on and on and on. And she does want to connect. She wants to come back. She needs to have that. And sometimes it takes some time for people to understand. And I don't know how it is sometimes. It just takes people to let them know that here we are. And this is, you know, I'm here. I'm here for you. And they come. But sometimes people need some time to think about what it's all about. And we do not push ourselves on people. We let them come to us. But we let them know that we are there anytime they need us. And that's important, because sometimes people are going to want to talk to people like us. And it would seem that they want to come to us because we have a commonality. We do. Every time when we go to visit my son's grave site, which is in Arlington, when we go there, there's people that around us, around other, we all have the same thing, and we visit each other, and we talk with each other. And it's an amazing gift that we have, that our sons or our daughters have brought us together when we went ever in. And it's amazing what comes out. So if anybody is out there grieving about their son or their daughter, just know that we are there for you. Anytime you need to talk to somebody, we are there. Seek out a Gold Star family. We are there.
Could you please give you the contact information again, sir?
Yes. It's goldstardads.org. And that'll tell you all about us. And they have all my information. Get all my information, contact information off that spot.
Okay, if people don't have access to a computer, because some of the older generation don't, is there any phone numbers or any way they can get in contact with people?
You can contact me. I'll give you my phone. And it is 847-244-8601.
Thank you very much. I know this is, a distinct great honor to have you come on, you know, on Memorial Day to describe all this, you know, pain, the hurt, and everything else, and yet to know that people are out there to help people. I think that's what's extraordinarily important.
Bob, I'm just blown away when I hear that you've reached out to the wounded warriors and to their families, and you know, not only to each other, helping and connecting with other Gold Star fathers, mothers, wives, and the work that's being done there, but to reach out to those that are in the hospitals or, you know, needs other care. I'm amazed that's going on. I had not heard that the Gold Star mothers or wives were doing that type of thing, and I'm sure they are. It's just that they're not talking about it.
That's right. Well, you know, that's how the Gold Star Mothers began, because the, I can only call her Mrs. Siebold now because I can't remember her first name, but her son died in the First World War, but because he was with the British Air Force, because the Americans didn't have an Air Force at the time, she always started going, visiting the VA hospitals and looking for her son, but then she started working with the hospitals and visiting all the men there and helping out. And that's how the Gold Star Mothers, that's what they're supposed to be doing. Gold Star Mothers visit the VA hospital and do what they can for them.
I just
that's
don't
their
think
mission.
They don't speak of it a whole lot. You know, we see them in the news, and I met so many of them from Vietnam forward when I'm up in D.C. also. But
yes,
they don't really speak out about the other work that they're doing, which is just invaluable to know about. And I'm delighted that Doug lined you up for the program today, because you've highlighted some of the, from the pain of losing a son, a daughter, a spouse, and the healing that you're reaching out and doing for others is just a duty that you served out through your son's death, to help others, and not just because you're a person of the church, but because you're who you are and who each of them are.
And I can tell you,
highlighted the need that we have, Doug, to try to get something going for those that have the invisible damage done, to get that group turned on to doing things like that. I mean, I'm in touch with one of the med techs that died after he came home, and his wife's a nurse, and he died, you know, we got him help and got his VA claim and got his Social Security and, four stents put in, and he died too young. Those kids weren't grown. His kids weren't grown. His wife has carried on bravely and strongly. And I just think that we need to speak more of that issue and look for the strong ones in the group that could do something like this and connect them with the Agent Orange family members, because I think that's a way for healing to take place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have to tell you, because of what I was doing and everything, that the VA has seen fit to... I'm the first one in my entire family that has ever had diabetes. And because I was in Vietnam at that particular time, and I was in Three Corps, they have me as an Agent Orange type of person. And so I can talk to people and tell them, and I know I have a very, very good friend that is just dying. He's on dialysis, been on dialysis the last, 7 years right now. He received one kidney, but he only had it for 6 months, and got an infection and was gone. But he and I are very, very good friends. He's dying of Agent Orange. He's had liver problems. He's had, obviously, kidney problems. He has now spots on his lungs, and we pal around together quite a bit. We just pal around, and he is... And the attitude is unbelievably positive, unbelievable, really. Matter of fact, he just lost a leg, I think, last year he lost one leg, and he said, well, I know this leg is only good for another year, so that's it. But I understand what you guys are talking about. I really understand the pain and everything that these people are going through now and what they have to go through. Oh, it is amazing. It just is amazing.
One of the things I think might be important too, and again, these are very difficult questions, but stuff I think needs to be asked or looked at. Denise, we've talked about this, and I've known so many of the nurses, and as an old combat medic and doing all this stuff myself. We somehow forget, we expect the doctors and the nurses, the med techs, to have this incredible strength, whether they're, you know, military or the Department of Veteran Affairs. But yet, they have this sense of loss, too, when you lose them. And Denise and I, we both lost people in our arms, and that'll never change. That's what poor war is about. But is there some way or some organization that can reach out to these military medical or the VA medical to provide them a support network? Because, I mean, I know too many nurses, and Denise and I have talked about this, that they've had burnout.
Yeah. I remember, you know, after the Gulf War and even before the Gulf War when we were deploying, we had some of the Vietnam nurses come to the unit and kind of talk to us a little bit before we left. And a lot of them burn out. I reconnected with some, and I'm always one that goes over to the, you know, the women's monument over there by the wall, and people call it the nurses' monument, but it's to the women. No better if they were nurses or clerks or what have you in Vietnam. And I love being there. I've had a rough time when I cannot be in D.C. connecting with vets up in D.C. Like I like to do on Veterans and Memorial Day, because I always find them in the crowd and they're wandering around. They're kind of lonely. You know, we have the Vietnam Wall, we have the Korean War, we have the World War II, but there's nothing for Desert Storm or Gulf War going forward yet.
Yeah, we had the individual on last week.
Right, and they wander through the crowd, and if they have chocolate chips on, I'm wandering up to them. And I remember one of the early Memorial Days that I wandered up to someone and was talking to him, and he was not the vet. It was his brother, and he was wearing his brother's shirt in his memory, and he had died after coming home. It was ALS, I believe, if I remember correctly. And we found a bench and just sat and talked. You know, I found out about his brother. He was able to verbalize about it. You know, I remember those times of connecting with the people. And yes, I mean, you know, it gets really hard during these special times. I've been close to tears the past day or two remembering Top Holland and what that man did on the POWMIA issue, much less was one of the original people putting in money to get the Rolling Thunder going on. And I remember him and miss him and remember him. The man served World War II, Korea, and Vietnam, and then did his homework on the Missing Persons Act that was there in the 40s and brought it up current. And I remember these people in the history, and I guess that's my little silver cloud underneath the dark cloud of finding people that I would have never met before, just like Bob mentioned, of meeting people you would have never, ever met, and the strength that came from those people and what they've given. And I look to them, even after their passing, of I have to find strength through their memories, through our own, but also through their memories of if they can carry on and do what they did, we can carry on. But yep. Yes, you get burnout. And there's not a whole lot of organizations for the flight nurses, the med techs, the you know, the medics in the Army can, you know, join the Combat Veterans Association and, you know, become members, and there's that commonality. But, yeah, there's a lot of organizations missing in this mix that haven't formed up through all the years from Vietnam to current, that there is a need for other needs to be met. And whichever way they do it, whether they get online with Facebook and start talking to each other and, you know, put up a page, you know, some way to start working together. And some of them, you know, the Vietnam vets, nurses, a lot of them I met, some of them did continue in nursing. Some of them had to get out of nursing. It just, they carried too many wounds themselves inside.
Yeah, Denise, so, both of you, I'd like to, before Bob, I'm going to give you the last few minutes to sum up, but on Memorial Day, it's been tradition, obviously, to read Flanders Fields. And so for me, I'd like to. This was written by John McCrae in May of 1915. That Flanders fields of poppies blow between the crosses row on row, that mark our place, and in the sky the larks still bravely singing fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from fallen hands we throw. The torch be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep though poppies grow in Flanders fields. Bob, would you like to close off the last few minutes of the show here tonight with any thoughts, ideas, comments, recommendations? It's yours, sir.
Well, my recommendation for any Gold Star father, Gold Star mother out there, is to make sure that you can get in contact with somebody and to talk about it. That's the very first thing. Second thing, the people, the friends, the relatives, the neighbors of a Gold Star family, if they don't know what to say, say that you're sorry for their loss. But the second thing you could ask them is, tell me about your son or your daughter, and let them talk. Let them talk. That is very, very important. And listen. And I want to thank you very much, Doug, for giving me this opportunity to be on your radio station and to give you our side of the story. thank you very, very much.
Extremely important. I mean, this connection came about because we have a very good friend of mine who lost his son, and his son was best friends with my kids. I mean,
yes,
yes, you understand. And that pain is so severe because I know our sons were so close. And after Chris had died, my son, my daughter-in-law, they couldn't even there because right before Chris had gone back, he had been to their house because they lived, you know, right by the parents.
Mm-hmm.
And to have that horrible loss for them that grew up together and that were the same age. We think about the parents, but we don't think about the other ones, the close friends that were there.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely right. You're very true. Siblings as well. Siblings as well. Nobody thinks about those, but their loss is just as painful.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, again, Memorial Day, let's remember what this is and do honor. Bob, thank you. Thank you. God bless you for all your work you're doing, your organization. Denise, thank you very much. And ladies and gentlemen, Memorial Day 2012, and this is Warrior Connection signing off.